You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Monday, February 11th, 2019. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thanks so much for joining us today. Well, the talk of the football world over the weekend was not the Jets or the NFL. It's the new league that launched the Alliance of American Football. They got underway with some games on Saturday and then Sunday. The early reviews, it seemed to me, were pretty good from the Saturday night games. Lots of praise, it seemed. And then on Sunday, we had our old buddy Christian Hackenberg go out there and not play very well, as one might expect. And on today's show, I'm going to talk a little bit about this league and just the whole concept of rival leagues in general. I think there are certain things this league does that are really good, but I'm skeptical that this league's going to be able to make it, and I'll tell you why, and I'll tell you what I think some of the steps are that would need to be taken for a rival football league to the NFL to survive. Now, I think almost everybody would agree the NFL could use a developmental league, especially in this day and age where practice time is pretty limited. It's difficult to develop players, so it's good to have a league like this, like the AAF. We need more of that, because players can only really develop if they're given game reps, and it's been far too long since the NFL had anything like this. Like NFL, you go back, NFL Europe's been gone over a decade. That was a league that was a very positive thing for the NFL. I think that really helped things out. There's been a league pop up here or there, but the AAF is making an attempt here. And, I think, hey, it probably has a better chance of survival than the XFL, which will start next year, or scheduled to start next year, just simply by it not being the XFL. I still cannot believe the XFL is prime for a comeback. I think for a league like this to work, I think for a rival league to work, there are some things that need to happen. I think that there are certain things that the AAF have done that are really good. And I think rival leagues are good for the NFL. I think other leagues popping up are good for the NFL, because the history of football shows us that different leagues bring different ideas to the table, whether it's the AAFC, the All-American Football Conference, a really fascinating league that was around decades and decades ago. They brought social change. They brought in African-American players to the league at a point where the NFL was barring African-American players from playing. So that was a good thing. You think about the AFL, the American Football League, which of course folded into the NFL. They brought us the two-point conversion, any number of things. You think about schematic areas where rival leagues have influenced the NFL, the United States Football League, the USFL. They brought in the zone blitz. Then there are lots of things. There are lots of great players from the USFL. The AFL brought us a good chunk of teams that are currently in today's NFL. And the AAFC gave us a couple teams as well. San Francisco and Cleveland both came from the AAFC, and that was the first league that showed us pro football could work in Baltimore and Buffalo. So it's good to have a rival. It's good to have I guess the AAF is not really trying to be a rival league. It's trying to be more of a minor league, which I actually think is one of its issues, and I'm going to get to that. But it's good to have another league out there, because the NFL is so big right now that there's no real pressure on the NFL to innovate. So I think the NFL's fallen behind in a lot of areas because they don't have to innovate. They're already number one in the league. They're already the number one league in the world. And in America, it's the number one sport. It's a giant. It's a Goliath. So there's no real pressure on the NFL to come up with new ideas. So I think that it's good to have another league, because this new league brings new ideas. And you look at the way the NFL's fallen behind in the way it presents its games, in terms of technology and digital data that they can produce. Well, it sounds like the AAF is doing that. So that's a good thing. I also think that for a secondary league to work, two areas where you really have to invest are in finding good scouts, good personnel guys to target players, know which players to target. I think You know, aside from the fact Hackenberg was starting quarterback in this league, the AAF has done that. And I think you also need to invest in quality coaches. And again, I think this league has done that. I think this league's done a good job finding quality coaches because, again, it's a developmental league. So you got to find guys who know how to coach players up, who know how to develop talent. So I think that this league has done a good job in that area. But I am skeptical that this particular league can survive on the model it's got for two reasons. First of all, it is a minor league at the end of the day. And I'm not sure people are going to watch a minor league over the long haul. You know, a lot of other leagues that have come up against the NFL have competed directly. They've tried to create an alternative to the NFL. And this league's pretty clear it's not trying to be an alternative to the NFL. And I'm just not sure how much interest there's going to be in just a pure minor league, a league that doesn't even attempt to be a major league. And the second issue is just, you know, people are saying, you know, people may disagree with that statement right now today. But my question is, yeah, maybe you watched it on a Saturday at the week after the Super Bowl where you're still kind of in football mode. You're just looking for any sort of football you can find. And CBS did a great job promoting it during the Super Bowl. You heard about this during the playoffs, this league in the playoffs. So CBS did a good job promoting it. And the first game was on CBS. The first game was on network television. So my question is, yeah, maybe under those circumstances you watch this league, but as the calendar, as we get deeper into the spring, as baseball starts, as we get to March Madness, are you going to dig deep into cable to find CBS Sports Network just to watch this league when you have those alternatives on the table? And I'm skeptical that they will. I think that there is a market for spring football. I think that there are people out there who will watch spring football. But you also have to consider that the NFL is not the only competitor at that in this market. You also have to deal with, again, the other sports. When baseball starts, when March Madness starts, people will have those options in front of them. So will you still watch spring football then? I'm not so sure. Now, I do think that there is a market for spring football. The USFL played during the spring, and the USFL had some measure of success. The guy who was maybe responsible for it was a businessman named David Dixon, and he came up with the idea because he went to a college football, Tulane. They have college football teams have spring games every year. It's like pretty much an intra-squad scrimmage where the team, you know, the offense versus the defense, and he noticed how many people were going there. So he said, wow, people will still watch football in the spring. And I think that's true, but I think there's a certain threshold, there's a certain quality threshold that you need to meet. I think people will watch decent football, perhaps over baseball, perhaps over March Madness, but I don't think they'll just watch minor league football over those things. And the other thing is, you know, there are more options than anything else. They're not just competing against sports, you're competing against Netflix, you're competing against all the other entertainment options out there. So I'm not sure just a pure minor league is going to be able to get the job done. Now, when we get back, I'll tell you my ideas, because I've thought about this. I like to study the history of sports. I like to study the business of sports. I'll give you some ideas for what I would do if I were creating a football league. We're here on Locked On Jets. We're not talking Jets, though, today. We're talking about alternative football leagues since the AAF launched over the weekend. And, of course, we have the brilliant return of the XFL scheduled to take place in a year. I gave a few thoughts on why I'm not sure the AAF could work. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think I would do if I were starting a league. And I'm not an expert on these things. I have not tested every single one of these ideas, but I have thought them through, and I do like to study the history of sports, the history of, and also the business of sports. So I do have some ideas of what I'd do if I were starting a league. And again, the first thing I'd do, I don't think you can just be a pure minor league. I think you need a compelling reason for people to watch your product. And you need star power. That's what I think. Now, I think you also have to start off with the understanding that just because you're competing with the NFL, just because you're a rival league to the NFL, success does not necessarily mean that you need a quality of play as high as the NFL. You don't necessarily need players as good as NFL players across the board. And you also don't necessarily need to make as much money as the NFL. I think that you have to find the happy medium. You can't be a pure minor league. You're not going to be able to compete with the NFL's resources. though. So you have to find a league that's just good enough to attract interest. And I think, again, I think you do that through star power. You need some stars for your league. You need some exciting players. So what I would look to, or where's an area where you can take advantage? And to me, there's a clear area of opportunity, and that's in the rookie wage scale the NFL has, where rookie contracts are artificially held down. And there's a good reason for that. I mean, the NFL has decided that guys who come into the league, rookies who come into the league, should not be paid more than guys who are, you know, veterans who have produced big things, who are already stars. So they hold down rookie contracts. So that's the area where I would exploit it, because there are a number of players coming into the draft each year who are already stars because of how they played in college football, and they're exciting players. The positions I prioritize, because again, you want an exciting product, so I'd look at quarterback, I'd look at running back, I'd look at wide receiver, I'd look at the skill positions, because that's where the exciting plays happen. And then to a lesser extent, maybe edge rusher, because people get excited about sacks. And then maybe to an even lesser extent, big hitters, because people like big hits. But you know, with the concussion issue out there, I think that that's probably the lowest of the priorities, because you know, there are certain rules you have to put into place. So those are the areas I'd look to play. I'd look to find players. So you look for guys who are, whose game translates to excitement. You know, your Bakers, your Saquon Barkley's, your Lamar Jackson's. You know, a guy who I'd target this year if I were starting a new league would be a Kyler Murray, who's just, his game is so much fun to watch. And you know, you go to them, and essentially what you say is, you know, this rookie wage scale will hold your salary down. And the other thing is, you can't guarantee that you're going to be the top overall pick. So if you fall in the draft, your earning power goes way down. So here's this guaranteed contract that will give you more money than you'd make on the rookie wage scale. See, that's how I'd attack it. And then after that, you know, beyond your stars, I think then you look for guys who are more developmental players. Because nobody's going to care if, like, your 20th best player, the 20th best player on a team in your league, we have a tough time making an NFL practice squad. I think people don't tune in for like the 20th best player on the team, whether it's NFL or a new league. What you want are stars. You want reasons for people to tune in. You may not be interested in tuning into a league in March for just to watch minor leagues, but you may tune in to see a star player. So I think those are the guys you'd need to target if you were looking. You need guys whose game, again, not just guys who are well known, but guys whose games are exciting. You know, guys whose games you want to see. So that's you. I think that's something that's important. Again, I would look to find quality coaches. I think you have to invest in quality coaches and quality executives. The AAF has done that. But one thing I would also look to are coaches maybe on lower levels who are exciting, who play an exciting brand of football. That's, you know, fun stuff. You know, you look at the guy who was the offensive coordinator at Princeton, and he got hired by Oklahoma State. He has a lot of innovative stuff. One of the great flaws, I believe. I think one of the great flaws in thinking is the idea that the NFL has all the best coaches in the world. That's not necessarily the case. There are coaches who are just as good as NFL coaches at lower levels. The job, getting a job in the NFL is a lot of luck, to be honest with you. It's a lot about networking. It's about a lot about who you know, just having a connection with a head coach who will help you get your foot in the door. That's why you see so many players who are able to get into coaching, because they have a path to get their foot in the door. How many sons of coaches get into coaching in the NFL because, again, their father can get them a job? That first job is really tough to get unless you know somebody. So there are lots of great coaches at, you know, lower levels of college football, other leagues, you know, other minor leagues out there, guys who might be just as good as coaches who are in the NFL, but they just have not gotten their opportunity because they didn't know somebody. I think that's something you'd look to scout. You look to scout coaches who play an exciting brand of football, guys who are quality coaches who can develop players. And again, I think you also want guys in the front office who, you know how to target maybe less heralded players, guys who, you know, can find under the radar talent for your league. And then, you know, again, the role players in this league, I think you would look to pay salaries well below the NFL minimum, like these minor leagues do. Your role players would have salaries in line with a typical minor league player, because again, they're not the guys who are going to drive your revenue. That's where I would look. That's how I'd look to build these teams. I think one of the most important things about building a new football league would be making sure you get a good TV deal. And I think getting stars would help that out, because you get a more attractive product. And the rights of sports TV deals are still pretty high. They're very coveted because advertisers like them because sports are one of the few things people still watch live, that they won't DVR and just fast forward through the commercial. So advertisers are willing to pay good money for sports. I think if you add a couple stars, you'll be in, you know, you'll actually have a compelling product to bring to the TV networks to try and get yourself a favorable TV deal. And I think you want to get on a major network so that you get that promotion. You get a big audience, you know, a lot of people watch a network, they'll promote your league, and it makes them more apt to tune in. I think you also want to innovate with digital, with, you know, ways you can stream the game, provide data, which I think the AAF is doing. So I think the AAF is doing a good job on that. The TV deal they have, I'm not as sold on because there's only one CBS game. It's going to be on more obscure networks going forward. I think getting a TV deal with well-known networks is really important for any new league. I think you also have to consider which markets you put your league in, which cities get teams. If you want teams that are going to be successful, you want teams that are going to be popular in their home market, but you also want areas that are going to be attractive to TV advertisers, because advertisers are going to focus on, you can say, hey, we're in New York. Well, there are more people in New York than any other city. So advertisers know if I advertise with this league, my product's going to be seen by more people. So, there are a couple different areas I'd look at. I'd look at, first of all, big markets. I'd look at markets that the NFL has really kind of screwed over, for lack of a better phrase. And I'm thinking like St. Louis and San Diego and Oakland, where you know that those are towns that can support NFL teams. You know those are towns that can support football, and the NFL has just turned their back on those cities. So those are markets I may look at. I may also look at college markets, markets where college football is very popular, if there are any big markets like that. You know, what I think back to is the Canadian Football League, believe it or not, actually had a big expansion into the United States during the 1990s, and it was a disaster for the league in general. But one of their success stories early was Birmingham, Alabama. Alabama, of course, a big college football state. And they drew a lot of fans early on. But the attendance fell off once the college football season started, because the Canadian Football League season starts in July. July through September, the Birmingham team in the CFL did pretty well. And then they kind of fell off after the college football season started, because those teams were more acclimated to their area. So, you know, the CFL team became an afterthought. I'd also look at just small markets who would embrace a team. The NBA has plenty of one-team cities, where the NBA team's the only team in the city, and those teams can be very successful. So those are the markets I'd look to. But, you know, just going back to something, I think you have to play in the spring. I think spring football, for any rival league, you'd have to play in the spring. I think NFL and college are just too much football in the fall for you to be able to break through. Recently, the United Football League tried to do it, and it just did not work. It just did not work because everybody's attention's already on NFL and college in the fall. I think those markets are saturated. I think spring is where the opportunity is. I think that's where you have your chance to actually break through, because people are looking for good football in the spring. I don't think people are just looking for bad football in the spring, but I think if you can provide good football in the spring, people will watch it. So I think that's important. I think in terms of the business of the league, there's a league out there where you can actually look to a good, that actually I think has a good model, and that's Major League Soccer. And they've kind of figured this out, where if you pay an expansion fee and you get a team, so like you're the owner of a team, but the league is responsible for signing all of the players. The league is responsible for the contracts. And I think that's a smart model, especially for a startup league, because again, you want better talent than the minor league, but you also have to know you're probably not going to have the resources to go toe-to-toe with every single NFL free agent. You have to kind of pick your spot. So you don't want some owner going in there and just deciding, I'm going to have an all-star team and I'm going to sign all these expensive players. And then you start a bidding war across the league, and then teams, you know, to try and keep up, other teams are spending money they don't have and risking their financial future. That's actually what happened in the USFL, where there was this, there was a man, David Dixon. He's the guy who kind of came up with the league. And his idea was something along the lines of what I was saying, where you pick your spots to add star players, to give your league credibility, to give your league star power, but you don't go overboard trying to bring in, trying to build all-star teams, trying to go toe-to-toe with the NFL. I think that's where you could get into trouble, and that's where the USFL got into trouble, because the USFL did not follow his plan. How do I put this in a way that I'm not going to get 50, like, angry emails. You can read up on it. There was a businessman who came in, a well-known businessman who came in and bought a team, USFL team, and he started spending lavishly to bring in star players, and he kind of helped run the league into the ground. He did not do a great job with the USFL. He kind of took the league off the plan, off a sustainable plan, and that's one of the big reasons the USFL folded. So you can read up on that. But I think, you know, you have to be stable. And I think that where that comes from is you need the league to sign the players. You don't want the owners to sign players, because you'll get a guy like, you know, Jerry Jones who'll just sign anybody under the sun, and then the other teams have to spend big money to keep up with that. You want the league to keep contracts under control, to pick its spots, to target certain star players, and then the rest of the team can be filled out with guys who are maybe a step below the NFL. Because again, you don't need to be as good as the NFL. You just need to hit a certain threshold of quality, which those star players would hopefully get you to. So I think that's something I'd look to. And I think that it's still possible to find rich owners, because I think being a sports owner has a certain status to it. Rich people like being sports owners, so I think they're always looking to figure out a way to buy a team. So I think you'd want to target guys as your owners who are very wealthy individuals. You'd want to make sure these guys have enough money to understand that the league's probably not going to make money. The league's probably not going to make money the first year or so. So I think I think you'd want to target people like that who have the financial means to withstand, you know, losing money for a couple years to try and build something sustainable over the long haul. I think that's something that's really important. You look at a lot of these minor leagues, why they fail is that they just don't get people who have enough money as their owners, enough people who are willing to take a loss for a year or two or three in order to build something sustainable over the long haul. You know, one example I'll give you is that All-America Football Conference I was telling you about, they had a rule that all the owners had to be a millionaire. And for whatever reason, the guy who got the team that they put in Miami was not a millionaire. He was not a very wealthy guy. And it just turned into a ridiculous operation where, I mean, after their first game in Cleveland, their first year, they skipped out of town without paying the hotel bill, and the Cleveland Browns had to pay their hotel bill to try and avoid embarrassment for the league. You know, the Cleveland Browns didn't want getting out that the team in their league doesn't pay its hotel bills, but they just didn't have the money. So it was just a ridiculous operation in Miami. So you want to make sure you have people who are wealthy enough. I also think that if you look to the model of Major League Soccer, what they do is they build stadiums. They build stadiums that are smaller than your typical, you know, NFL stadium, your typical baseball stadium. And I think that there's some opportunity there. You look at the way the business of building stadiums is being disrupted by certain companies. You can build stadiums for much cheaper than what NFL teams are doing. And again, they may not make as much money, but there are advantages to owning your own stadium. You control, you know, parking prices. You know, you get the revenue from parking, you get the revenue from concessions, you can hold concerts there to make money. So I think Major League Soccer has done a great job where they're building stadiums that are not as expensive. But the other thing I'd look at, and this is again why you'd want people who are rich to be your owners, because you want people who are going to be invested in the long haul. You want people who are going to be willing to view this as an opportunity, a long-term opportunity. And building if you get people who would be interested in building new stadiums, I think there's an opportunity there. And the other thing about stadiums is, you know, today's NFL stadium is not really built for the typical fan. You know, the stadiums are the thing. Whenever I meet with my uncle, we always talk about the state. He always asks me, "What do you think about MetLife Stadium?" And I go, "I don't think it's that great." And he goes, "You know what I don't like about it?" He says, "I don't like the fact that in the old stadium, no matter who you were, no matter what your seat was, everybody walked through the same entrance. In MetLife Stadium, depending on where you're sitting, you could go into the, you know, luxury suite entrance, whereas the regular people walk through the general seating entrance versus this box entrance." He said he didn't like that, and I think he's really onto something there, because I think that the modern stadiums are not built for the fans. They're built for the fans in like the best seats. I think that's what the experience is built for. It's not built for like the regular fan. So I think there's an opportunity there to build better stadiums. Again, you need people who have a lot of money to be willing to do this. But building a stadium doesn't mean you spend, you know, $1 billion. You can build a stadium for much cheaper than that. You can build a stadium that caters to fans. And again, if you're looking to build something different, if you're looking to build a league that differentiates you from the NFL, the fan experience at a game is something that there's a real opportunity to get to. Whereas, you know, you go to an NFL game, maybe it's not as fun because the stadium's not that great. You can build a stadium that's, you know, intimate, that's right on top of the action, just great sight lines, great view. Maybe the concessions aren't as expensive because the league doesn't need to make as much money. I think you have an opportunity to take advantage of what the NFL's not providing the customer, again, if you wanted to build a league like that. And finally, just an idea that I heard the American Basketball Association did, which I thought was brilliant, is they would, when they were challenging the NBA decades ago, the ABA, what they did was they made huge offers to the best referees the NBA had because they knew that the flow of their game was going to be important. They needed well-officiated games. They needed to make sure the game flowed well, and the officials play a big role in that. So I think that's something you'd also look at doing. That's another area where you'd invest. You'd make sure you try and get the best NFL officials around. And when the ABA did that, it kind of had a double whammy effect because not only were ABA games better, but NBA games were worse. They hurt the NBA in taking their best referees. So, you know, that's the last thing I would say. So I just wanted to share these thoughts with you today about what the John B. Football League would look like. And I don't know, maybe I should go off and start it. It's the beauty and the pain of the 5 day a week podcast is that I can spend a day on stuff like this. But I just started thinking over the weekend about like what a football league I would design would look like, and I wanted to share those thoughts. So hopefully you enjoyed the show, and we'll get back to the Jets tomorrow. But thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Hope you have a great Monday, and we'll be back again tomorrow.